Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Luke 24, 36 through 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my feet, my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Again, it's great to see everyone out this morning. Welcome. It's a special day that we rejoice in, because if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then we cannot rise from the dead and be resurrected either. That first Easter Sunday, first day of the week, when all of Jesus' disciples woke up, they were all heartbroken. As the early morning began to dawn on that first Sunday of the week after Jesus had died on a cross, some women came to the tomb to finish washing and dressing the dead body of Jesus. Of course, he wasn't there. While these women were making their way to the tomb, Jesus' disciples were inside a room, an upper room, in Jerusalem with the doors locked, and extremely fearful that the same kind of fate that Jesus had just suffered on the cross would also happen to them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you again for our life. We know that we have eternal life once we are trusted in you, who gave your life for us so that we might live. And Father, we again want to be able to listen to your word, the message that we have prepared for the people this morning. It's not just for a whole group of people, it's for each one of us as individuals. So speak to each one of our hearts as we listen and be led by your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly the followers of Jesus were all very, very sad, but they're also very, very scared. Just as Jesus had said, it'd be predicted in the Old Testament, Zechariah, I believe, he said, the shepherd had been smitten. Jesus is the great shepherd, amen. The shepherd had been smitten, talking about on the cross, and the sheep had scattered, referring to his disciples. His followers had all believed Jesus to be the Messiah. He was. They were right. They'd all placed their faith in him and expected him to set up his kingdom on earth at that time. One day he will, when he comes back. To set up his kingdom at that time, but he had to go to the cross. They believed they would throw off the Roman yoke of bondage. They thought they would all be part of that, to reign in his earthly kingdom. But now he was dead. They witnessed it on the cross. He'd been put in the tomb. And even though Jesus had told them many, many times about his future death and resurrection, they just didn't get it. They never clearly understood the meaning of his words. And now he was dead, or so they thought. They'd banked their future on the Lord's claim to be the Messiah, and it never happened. Their hopes and dreams were shattered, and they all felt depressed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 D's. Depressed, demoralized, disillusioned, despondent, and defeated. The one they had placed their hopes in was now gone. This man who so radically changed their lives, and that's what Jesus does, amen? You're not the same person after you receive Jesus. You become a new creation in Christ. He changed their lives by his power. He demonstrated his love, the love of God to them. But he had died such a violent, cruel, bloody, and humiliating death on a cross. And all of them had deserted him, except one. There was only one disciple at the cross, and that was John, the Apostle John, who was with Jesus' mother, that had to witness her son being crucified on that cross. All had deserted him. Peter denied him 3 times. So there they were in the upper room. All those things, depressed, despondent, etc. They couldn't get their heads around it, that Jesus had died. And it was a very, very sad time for them. And surely, you know, we can relate to that when someone we know and love dies, and the grief that we feel for those people. And that's how they felt. The Apostle Paul writes about this in his letter to the church in Corinth in Greece. He said that if Jesus is dead and not resurrected, then we have no hope and good reason to grieve. If Jesus is dead, then we're all headed to hell and no hope beyond this life. And in this life, we are to be pitied and most miserable. There's no reason why Christians ought to be miserable. Amen? The disciples certainly were. There they were, cowering in this upper room for fear for their lives. But something miraculous happened. Suddenly, Jesus appeared in that upper room. Something that these disciples would never expect in a million years. Jesus just appeared in the upper room. Jesus, who had died just 3 days before, came into that very room, and they were absolutely terrified because they thought they'd seen a ghost. Just imagine it, if you were one of those disciples, and you know for a fact that somebody died and they just appeared out of nowhere, you'd think it was a ghost too. wouldn't you? But it was Jesus, very much alive. But they were terrified. They were scared to death. And to allay their fears and assure them that he was very much alive, he showed them the nail prints in his hands and his feet to prove that he was real. He asked them to touch him. You can't touch a spirit, you can't touch a ghost, can you? He had a body, had a resurrected body. And he even sat down with them and he ate some food. Ghosts can't do that. Not that I've ever met any, but I don't want to meet any, thank you very much. Most of the disciples hadn't believed until that moment, but now they were certain that Jesus was alive. He'd proved it. There he was in the midst. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. But they were beside themselves with happiness. It was an amazing moment for those disciples. They were full of joy. Full of joy. That's what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. In his presence is fullness of joy. This is what people in the world today need to know, that Jesus is more than just a baby who was born in a manger, who grew up and was crucified and is now dead. They need to understand that Jesus is still alive. He is real. And the only hope they have of going to heaven and avoiding hell when they leave this world. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. He did that on the cross. Last thing he said on the cross, he said, it is finished. He came and accomplished to do what he set out to do. That was his mission, to die on the cross for our sins, so we wouldn't have to be punished for our sins that we commit. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died the death that we deserve so that we might live eternally. Amen? Today's Easter Sunday, if you don't know already. Resurrection Day. That's what I like to call it, Resurrection Day. We were getting groceries in Big Y. Here's a plug for you folks. Listening on the radio. And there was a fella there bagging the groceries and saying, happy Easter to everybody, happy Easter. I said, yeah, happy Resurrection Day. I was able to share a little word about the real reason why we have Easter. No, it's not about the bunny, the Easter bunny. It's about Jesus Christ. The fact that even though Jesus died on the cross and was buried, he rose again from the dead. Do you believe that? I can't hear you. Death was defeated. All their lives, people live in fear of that moment when they will take their last breath and die. Even Christians, though we're ready to go to heaven, will always fight for that last breath because the body doesn't want to die. But when our old worn out, sin-ridden carcass goes back to the dust, the ground is nothing more than a place to store it. All those ashes, depending if you get cremated or not. When we lay this flesh down in death, our spirits ascend to heaven, just like Jesus ascended into heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 8 says, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. The grave is not our final resting place. It's just a hope chest. Hold him within a body that will be raised from the dead, incorruptible and undefiled, glorified and taken to heaven. A dead Savior can save no one. Wasn't just a man, though, was he? He was God in the flesh, and he proved it by rising from the dead. Jesus is alive. He can save all those that come to him by faith. Have you done that yet? Because Jesus lives, by the grace of God, we can be saved from our sins. Because he lives, we can have our sins washed away. Because he lives, we can go to heaven when we leave this world. Because he lives, the grave has no power over those who believe. Because he lives, eternal life is our present possession. Because he lives, one day we will live with him in that heavenly city. Because he lives, we'll never have to live in this world abandoned, like orphans. Because he lives, there is hope, there is help, and there is presently eternal life. Because he lives, we are spiritually alive. Because he lives, our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Because he lives, our names are written in Jesus' book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Because he lives, God is now our Father. We've been adopted into his family. Because he lives, sin has no more dominion over us, because Jesus won the victory. Because he lives, we've been saved from hell. We need to understand and know for sure today that Jesus is alive. Now let me ask you, those who are listening today, do you know that Jesus lives? Do you understand now what will happen to you when you die without him? That you'll spend an eternity in hell without God, unless you're saved by Jesus. Do you realize that there is no other way into heaven than through receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that his death on the cross was for you? Do you know that Jesus' death will not mean anything to you unless you confess him and confess to him that you are a sinner, and then ask him to save your soul? Do you know that if you call on his name to save you today, that he will, and you shall be saved forever? Today is a wonderful day, and it's also a wonderful day for you to come before the Lord and renew your commitment to him and thank him for his grace and his mercy and his compassion and his love and the fact that we can never perish and everything that he's done for us, everything that he's done for you was not in vain. If we don't receive him as our personal Savior, what he did on the cross was in vain. This is a wonderful day to praise the Lord for the blessings in our life, because Jesus died and he rose again from the dead. And I'll finish with these verses written by the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified that God raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him from the dead, then the dead are not raised also. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised or resurrected, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost, those believers that have died. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be pitied. So don't pity us. Amen. Don't pity us. We've got a one-way ticket on the victory train to heaven, all because Jesus is alive. He died. He was buried. And yet, he rose again from the dead. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Thank you so much. Let's just close in a word of prayer, please. Father, it's great to know that our sins have been forgiven. We don't have to feel guilty or condemned and pay the price for those sins. You already did that on the cross. You said it is finished. They put you in the tomb. But then on the third day, that first Sunday, you rose again from the dead and proved it to many, many witnesses. And we believe it by faith, even though we wasn't there. We know it to be true because you live in our hearts when we first trusted you. We simply confessed to God that we are sinners. Forgive us for the sins, the things that we've done and that we've thought about or we thought about doing, because we're sinners and sinners need a Savior. You're the only one. And by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. You gave us the gift of your Son. And once we confess to you that we're a sinner, we ask you to come into our hearts to save us from our sins. You do. And that's the promise that is in the Word of God, which is always true. So I pray that somebody will do that this morning, listening to this message. And for the rest of us, help us, those that are saved, professing Christians, help us to be fully committed and to share our faith with those that are lost. And so they could have the same joy, inexpressible joy and hope in this world, and the comforter of the Holy Spirit, who doesn't leave us as orphans. We can be adopted into God's family and be certain that when we leave this world, we go into the presence of our Savior, who's already there, having been raised from the dead, where there is fullness of joy in his presence. And again, we thank you for coming and dying for us and rising again from the dead. And there all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you all.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.